conspiracy for protesting ICE. Aaron Glantz, we're going to link to your piece in The Guardian, the piece that you wrote, and as well as your books, The War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against America's Veterans. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Sharina Nadura. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Stay tuned for the One World Community Radio program on 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, 88.7 FM WRHU, Hempstead Radio, Hofstra University, 88.1 FM WCWP, Brookville, LIU Post, 88.3 FM WRCT, Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 FM WVCR, Loudonville, Siena College, 98.1 and 105.9 FM WKZE Salisbury Red Hook, and around the world at WRHU.org. This is One World Community Radio, coming up next on your favorite community radio station.
Radio program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Mahwanana. Broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts, Cody Millar and Andy Gladding. We welcome you to join us for the next hour as we celebrate the power of community radio, music, language, and culture. The world is a big place, but using the power of radio, we're bringing it right to your door. Now, Bush Radio and WRHU welcome you to the one world of community radio.
Point 7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University, 89.5 FM Bush Radio, the mother of community radio, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. You're listening to the One World Community Radio Show. I'm Ricky Hubert. We have our new great co-host, enthusiastic co-host in Cape Town, Kusi Veto, on the line. Kusi, what's going on?
Fine, man. Cape Town, finally, we have a sun. Everybody's happy because it's so cold at night. But yeah, we have sun, so which means a lot of people will be able to do outside activities like laundries. But everybody knows in Cape Town at night, ooh, so cold.
And Kusi, I remember you were telling me, Bush Radio has a very exciting event coming up to celebrate the 30th anniversary. Do you want to tell people about that when we have the opportunity?
Oh yes, so Bush Radio in celebrating a jazz woman, a woman in jazz actually, where actually in August in South Africa, we have we calling it a Women's Month, celebrating women and obviously highlighting some of the issues regarding women. So with that, also it's Bush Radio's celebrating 30 years in podcasting. So it's also accompanying it that with the concert that they will be having it. So we're calling it a Woman in Jazz, where Bush Radio will be celebrating, actually calling it Woman in Jazz in celebration of Bush Radio's 30 years of licensed podcasting. It will be at the Artscape, and it will be on a Saturday on the 9th of August. Already Bush Radio has been selling tickets. Yeah, man, quickly.
Very quickly. So get your tickets, right?
Yes, please get your tickets and also in support of Women in Jazz and Bush Radio. It will be at the Artscape.
Very, very nice. And we have a great show for you today. We are joined by Mr. Alex Garrett, Alex, host of the One Leg Up podcast. Alex, how are you today?
Oh, it's so bad. It's so fun to be back on, and I love what you guys at One World Radio are doing. So I'm honored that you have included me today.
Well, we're honored that you're here. We're honored that you're here. So to start, tell us about what you do with your podcast and how you got into the exciting world of radio.
All right. Well, actually, that's going to be the anniversary coming up in August of me in radio here in New York City. Salem Media Group welcomed me in August of 2013. And I started out with Curtis Sliwa, who was then on our 970 side, the news talk side. And I gradually ended up in the Christian world as well, taught on MCA, working on with different hosts there. So it's been quite a journey. Now I'm in the production department of Salem Media Group, New York. So when we met in the hallways of 570, 970, Ricky, I was all over the place, as were you, getting prepared for our big Pastor's Appreciation event. And I was doing the production on that side of things. So the One Leg Up Network, well, I try and talk about adaptability and accessibility as well as accountability, meaning we got to hold, different politicians that are not helping out the disabled community accountable. But more so, we got to be, there's got to be a network out there that's going to help bridge the gap between the disabled community and those brands that serve the disabled community. So when I bring on people who have one leg up on life, I'm hoping they help others have one leg up as well. The whole point is to encourage people to have one leg up on life, whether it's through my guests or the different brands I work with through the podcast. Do you guys have either of any more questions? Because, it's been quite a journey with the podcast. I started to see that the news wasn't being delivered enough to my generation, to the generations after me and whatnot. So I started up the podcast. It's gone through so many iterations. And we started out as Covering the Base with Alex Garrett. Now it's like Up with Alex Garrett. It's been through so many name changes.
As someone, okay, I was saying congratulations first on everything that you have achieved. You're such an inspiration, especially with your life story when I started to look on it. I want to know you. I know that we once had a guest. I think last was it last week or last of last week was also disabled but managing to do a lot of things. I want to know, with you, as somebody with one leg but still you're managing to do a lot, especially in media. How do you feel? Do people judge you based on how you look, or they feel like, oh, Shem, let me do it? Or do you feel like they own it because they see you doing everything like as a person or regarded as normal in the society?
I think it's because I myself don't let my disability define me, and I am surrounding myself with others who don't let their disability define me on the podcast. Like, we bring on people who are literally doing work with their brands, with their communities, and smashing stigmas. That's another thing I like to say is we're all smashing stigmas, and we try and encourage others who have a disability to step out into the world. I do feel like there are some people who sort of stick in this certain, how do you say, not sheltered life, but certain way of life where they feel like they can't do anything. Well, I bring on people who say, yes, you can do it. You know, that's the whole point is you too can have one leg up on life. Do I feel judged though? Not entirely. In fact, I can make this announcement on One World, which is a bit of an update from last year's show when Cody and Andy and Jamie had me on. I was very thankful they had me on. I ended up winning a grant for my podcast and for the One Leg Up Alex brand last week. So I think, you know, bringing out that message to places like One World Radio is helping the show grow. And I appreciate you guys for helping me grow the show and helping us continue this mission of helping others as well. Because the accessibility conversation, disability conversation, the access doesn't go away. I mean, a real life story is the other day an elevator was not working for me or my fiance, who's also disabled. And so we had a whole rigmarole to get her down from the subway platform. But that's the issue. There is no never 24-hour accessibility anywhere. And that has to change. I mean, we're in the 2025. We're in the 21st century. Why are elevators out of service for a whole weekend when people who are disabled have to commute through the city? It's like, these companies don't take into consideration that people with disabilities are always moving, always on the go, and they need that. You know, the disabled community needs that recognition from these companies.
Alex, I'm curious because I was reading about you last night, and obviously we met in person at the event. I was reading that you go through New York City on a rollerblade with your one leg, right? Something along those lines. What is it like navigating the city and the New York City and the subway systems, because it's a very busy, chaotic place? And as Kusi was mentioning, one of our previous guests, when she was mentioning Kimberly Minto and she was mentioning disabilities, touched on that issue of, well, of navigation and travel. So how do you kind of go through that?
Oh, and Kimberly, I got to meet her last week as well at the Viscardi Center, Iowa University, Ideas Park. Great person, and I do recommend Sitting Beauty. She's got a lot of great content there. Navigating the city is not even having my headphones on all the time. Like, I feel like, as you say, Ricky, it's too chaotic. So I have to be more attentive than maybe the average person, because I'm a little, not skittish, but I'm always a little nervous that a car might make the wrong turn or not want to wait for someone to cross the street, disabled or not, right? So it is a navigation. However, when I do feel comfortable, you could see me flying down 6th Avenue, lifting my crutches up off the ground, and I'm literally rollerblading down 6th Avenue or the other avenues on just the leg without any help from the crutches. It's kind of fun when I get to do that.
I want to know, in terms of you having the love of podcasting, you know?
Yeah.
How it all started, like from school, was there a favorite, you know, a radio show that you listened to or podcast?
Love that. Love that. Well, you know, I was growing up in radio, in listening to radio. My dad and mom loved radio, and my dad certainly had me listening to it all the time. But I was at the age in 10th grade where I said, this is what I want to do. And I started listening to one of the local radio stations in New York City. I said, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. I always get excited when I get to hear something I just produced on the air 2 minutes later. Like, there's something to that and something magical about that. Even as a day-to-day job, you know, it sometimes does feel like a job. However, when I get on radio and listen to it, I'm like, wow, I'm doing what I set out to do when I was in 10th grade, Kusi and Ricky. 10th grade, that was my goal. And then to achieve that, I started the more of a sports-oriented show called The Sports Hour with Alex Garrett in 2009 at the WQMC radio, the voice of Queens College. And for 4 years, I did that, did my own stuff along the way, did some announcing at Queens College. And It's interesting. When the pandemic hit, that's when I really turned my focus from what I was doing on the podcast with sports, with politics, to adaptability and realizing, hey, during this pandemic, which has affected the disabled community, let's lean in and reach out to my connections in the disabled community because they need a lot of support. They need a lot of help right now. And for 5 years straight, I've included adaptability as a portion of what I cover because there are so many people out there who, I don't want to say overcome, but just, you know, smash stigmas and they're just, you know, with their disability and they're moving things forward in their life as well as helping others move forward who are also disabled. And I gravitate toward those people that are helping others as well.
Something you describe your show as is stories that aren't trending but should be. How do you, I know you were saying the pandemic, you shifted gears a little bit. How do you pick the stories that you do each week and kind of find your own narrative and voice as a broadcaster versus at Salem where you're just a production guy and producer and maybe don't have the voice that Curtis Siwa does or the on-air personality does?
Well, that's interesting. So I've been reading more and more. I actually find that reading the newspapers still bringing you stories that you may not hear about while scrolling your phone. Isn't that interesting? But I take these stories I find, and in my head I'm like, wait, nobody's really talking about this. So let me talk about it. And it could be stories of American history. Like there's sometimes in history we see things repeat, and sometimes we want them to repeat, sometimes we don't want history to repeat itself. So I talk about that. And sometimes I apply these stories I find that I feel no one else is going to talk about, no one else is going to cover to the disabled community. Say, you know, in the 50s, we were doing, for example, we were doing this Adams for Peace program. You can look that up. But why don't we also help the disabled community like Dr. Viscardi was doing back in 1952? So my point is there's so much more we can do than just talk about the headlines. That we have to translate it to how we can help the disabled community at the same time.
You're still tuning in on One World Radio. And again, you know, the crazy part about this, Alex, is that, you know, for somebody with a disability to a point where you have to push extra hard in expressing yourselves, but you seems like to be getting nicely on it, on doing that for you. So I want to know now, with you, obviously, you just described on what you love about podcasting. What are some of the things that are still, till to this day, you can't forget about it? Things that have changed your life from stories you talk to maybe in the street or even interviewing? You know, do you have a specific story?
Well, I mean, one of my stories is certainly connected with the Viscardi School because Dr. Ernie Viscardi started the center back in 1952 and then in 1962. And I mention this because a lot of Hofstra people, a lot of Hofstra students do come from the Viscardi School, Ricky, as you probably know as well. And so I want to mention that Viscardi School has been such a great outlet and great resource for people with disabilities. And that was my first real life-changing connection is when my parents took me over to the Viscardi School when I was in kindergarten 29 years ago. So that was number one. Number two, I would say connection to because I love sports, my connection to the Yankees and how George Steinbrenner took me into the Yankees world when I was 8 years old. And I've been a Yankee fan for a very long time. And part of that, it was so special because here's a kid in New York City and George Steinbrenner, you know, took me in and showed me a community, a welcoming community. And I didn't think it was because of my disability. I think it was just because he saw something in me that said, let's welcome this kid into the Yankees world. And I'm very thankful for that. I mean, I could say I met President Clinton as well back in 2000. And that was a really interesting moment at the Cardinal John O'Connor's funeral at St. Patrick's Cathedral. But as far as the podcast goes, one of the more memorable conversations that I'm highlighting this ADA on this ADA week, because there was one guy that asked me, "Oh, why don't you go on disability and why are you working?" And this guy asked me this on the subway, and I was so appalled. I mean, I didn't really act appalled, but I was just appalled at the question, because I think there's a stigma out there that people with disabilities can't work or don't want to work or don't work. Well, that's not true. The disabled population is working, and the labor force is hiring people with disabilities. I'm sure you guys are noticing that. The fact of the matter is there are still able-bodied people that think because we're disabled, we don't work or don't or can't work or whatnot. And I'm out to change that narrative and smash that stigma and align with others who are also smashing that stigma that, yes, disabled people do work.
Smashing stigmas. I think you touched a nerve there, because I think everyone in their life, whether they realize it or not, have fallen as victim to a stigma. But you kind of had, and I'm sure that there's been pushbacks along the way, and I'm sure there's been many moments where people tell you, no, this can't work, this can't go that way. I feel like for you, one leg up is kind of having a positive attitude on life, almost as a metaphor for that. So how do you keep that going even when there is all the naysayers out there for you? As a rule of thumb for anybody, because this applies to anybody.
How do you keep going when there are naysayers? Well, you got to tune them out at some point and just go on your own. I mean, I would just say that over the years, I haven't had many naysayers, to be honest. I've had a lot of supporters and encouragers, and that's why I keep encouraged to still podcast. Because, look, if I remember when I was in WQMC Radio, and I love that station, but I remember getting no viewers or listeners, and I'm like, what am I doing this for? And then I started to say, you know what? Let me not think about the ratings. Let me not think about this. Let me just keep doing what I'm doing. And here we are. The podcast become 5-star rated. And I don't know how. I'm grateful for that. And it's become now a grant-winning podcast. And I think that's just because I put away all that, you know, why aren't people listening to me at the beginning, and just kept going with it. And now we're at 49,000 downloads. We're almost at 50K. So never stop. If you want to have one leg up on life, never stop going and trust in the process. That's kind of another thing I've been thinking of too, is this is a process. It's a little impatient at times, but the process is working out so far.
So, Alex, you live in a country where, you know, it embraces your talents. Doesn't matter what circumstances you're in, you know. I want to know now your point of view in terms of other countries in the world. We've seen it where there's insurgents or conflict and all that, where journalists, you know, they end up being killed or being silenced. Do you think in some of countries like that, will there be a time where, you know, disabled people are managing to tell their stories, but at the same time telling the stories of their community that are out there? Because you'll find that with you, you are there, you're not only telling stories of disability, but also you're highlighting, you know, the culture of humanity. It might be talking about journalists or food, but still you're talking to everyone. But now in other countries, some people don't have a privilege, you know,
Well, and I know journalism is under threat everywhere, right? I mean, there's that growing theme that journalism is under threat. And I hate to say it, but even here, we've now seen funding slashed for NPR. I mean, these are public outlets that need to still have a voice in the public forum. So it is hitting this country a little bit too, and that's got to change. But around the other parts of the world, journalists are afraid to report, or if they do report, they're, God forbid, killed. I mean, you're right. There's this whole attack on journalism, and how do we help those continue to tell the story? Well, that's I can understand the fear that other journalists have in other countries for their life, really, right? Kusi, I mean, there's that too. So I kind of understand what you're saying there, and I would welcome any journalists that want to share their story on my podcast that may not be able to in the country they're in, because the world of journalism needs to stick together in a time like this. One leg up or two legs up, I guess. But it's not real. But I mean, behind the laughing mat, but the joke there, it's true. We all have to stick together, because I do notice, you know, and everybody's saying about Colbert being canceled, that's a whole other story. But I do notice that journalism who are doing good works are under threat. And I think now's not a time to compete with each other. Oh, I want more ratings as a person. No, I think we all got to band together here. Screw it, who's listening more to. Let's just band together and get people to tell their stories and not worry about who's getting listened to, who's getting more listens. Just band together. It's more of a call for unity than who's listened to more. I mean, look, I won this Idea Spark competition, and I'm very honored and grateful that I did. And that's through the Disability Entrepreneurship Institute at the Heinz Institute at Iona. And I do believe disabled entrepreneurs need to have a voice in the space as well. But just because I won doesn't mean I'm not interested in all the other brands that I got to see last week, because these people that I work with in this workshop, I highly recommend people apply if they have a brand and that they want to do something big in the disabled community, apply to IdeaSpark. But these other brands that I was watching get pitched are so important still. They're worth highlighting even after the course and workshop is done. So it's not really a competition to me. It's all about how we can all collaborate and work together and bring accessibility to more people than just the 10 people that we had in the class over the last few months.
And I think just the thought of not really having a competition, but kind of having more of a community of broadcasters and people in this business, whether you're in broadcasting or not. Because we were in the city, I was in the city with Hofstra, and we met a lady named Maria Melito, who's been on the air on the radio in New York City for about 25 years or so. And I told her, I said, oh, I do college radio. The first question she asked me, Alex, first question, she goes, what time are you on the air? And just kind of having that support system, because it is a very competitive business. It is a very competitive industry. So how do you think in our industry we can foster that more inclusive, welcoming thing? Because at the end of the day, it is ultimately about ratings and profit. But how do you kind of find that community within this world of broadcasting, and particularly radio, that we're all in?
You got to find your niche. I mean, I think that's what it is there's going to be people that want to hear your story. And there's going to be people who just want you to be behind the scenes and not want you to share your story. And you got to gravitate those that want to work with you, want to bring you on. Even if you're, and maybe you've experienced it at RHU, Ricky, or Kusi at Bush Radio. You know, you might be working for a host behind the boards, but they bring you on the air at times. You know, gravitate more toward those people. Say yes to those opportunities, because you never know what message you could be able to bring through these other radio stations at shows that are welcoming you on their show.
Okay, so now, Alex, I want to know, what are you busy with? Any projects that you're busy with? And 2025, we're already in the middle of the year. It's almost over. Did you manage to achieve what you've planned?
Well, here's why I also think people in media should also, if they're frustrated, not frustrated, but if they want to do more with what they have with their voice and whatnot, maybe not doing it on radio, you start a podcast, because I find that the podcast is opening doors. I skipped over the part where I was awarded a $750 stipend to cover the Digestive Disease National Coalition Spring Public Policy Forum. Not only cover it for the podcast, but I got to advocate to save funding for those with disabilities in Senator Schumer's office, Senator Booker's office. And so more of those opportunities I'd like to partner with, you know, organizations that are helping out people not only with the quote unquote disability I have, but other disabilities like the Spina Bifida Association, like I guess the United Ostomy Association is another group that comes to mind. The point is you don't have to just stay with where you're at right now. You could keep expanding your own message, your own brand. And so now that I've been awarded this project, which was a little bit of a money grant, I'm going to work on building a website. I have onelegupalex.com. I'm going to be look to get, you know, a radio show at some point down the road. with the funding I got. So the projects now are just heating up. I can't wait to keep you guys posted as we go along here. But the thing about the One Leg Up is it's also opening doors. And I find that if you keep doing these media and different shows, it'll open doors for you guys as well.
And just because you were saying about podcasting and finding your own voice, I took a class here that was about podcasting, right? And what the professor kept telling me was you have, and I've told the story on this show before, and what the professor kept telling me was you have to find a way to incorporate your own voice, your own narrative into it, because I'm used to doing news and stuff like this where it's like, oh, I'm going to put the spotlight on Alex because Alex is our guest for this hour and this is Alex's time to shine. How do you kind of find a way versus your radio work where you're a producer and that's more your goal, making the story come through, the story is the thing, versus in your own show where you're not, you're the star, basically. Like, it's your story you're telling. How do you kind of navigate the two worlds?
You know what's crazy? I don't even share my own day-to-day story. I really don't. I just want to get the word out about other people doing incredible things, because that's what it's about to me, is broadcasting other people's stories. And maybe that's sort of like, maybe people are tuning in to hear my story, but I'm not, I don't talk about the day to day. That's not what I'm about. I'm about sharing stories that are going to impact not only the disabled community, but the able community. The beauty of One Leg Up is it brings both together. I mean, we have stories that can impact both the able and the disabled community, and they need to be shared. And I don't feel like sharing my own story every day is going to move the ball forward, if you will, for anybody else.
Alex, so now when it comes to, as you're saying, you're not only advocating for disabled people. I want to know now, in terms of some, I think I've asked this question also on our last guest, regarding the abuse of people with disability, you know, as podcasters, how can we highlight those issues? Because most people don't realize those things are happening, you know. Sometimes you will think a person is abused by someone who's far, not knowing that it might be someone who's close, like a family member.
If I can plug, because I happen to be a member of the editorial board of Able News. So Able News gives you the news, not so much the abuse or whatever, but more so news that you guys can highlight. Able Newsletter, you can find it at Able News. Just Google them, and they have all the stories. Emily Liddow is the editor-in-chief there. And basically, it's an entity that was acquired by the Viscardi Center that is bringing you the news of the day for the disabled community. So if you guys want to lean into this more, I'd recommend you taking a look at Able News, because they are the leader in storytelling of people with disabilities, especially during ADA week. I mean, they're highlighting a lot of different people that have contributed to the for accessibility, if you will, the push for accessibility. I mean, 1990, 35 years ago, they signed the ADA. And you're right, Kusi, it's not accessible entirely yet in 2025. So that's really, to me, the fight. And then, of course, if you're talking about political abuses, yes, I do find there are things and funding that are under attack that need to be saved. I mean, there's no doubt about it that people with Medicaid, and I get why they're trying to cut certain things, but within those cuts, it's going to affect Americans who have disabilities and need the Medicaid. That's where the concern comes in when it comes to this big, beautiful bill and whatnot. I don't want to get too political here, but it's true. There are a lot of things we can just voice our displeasure in or voice our dissatisfaction in, and maybe they'll listen to it and change course. We can only hope, right?
We can only hope, that's right. But what you had said, because you were talking about Americans Disability Act in 35 years, before we got on the air, you were telling Kusi and I about that here in the United States. That's what's being celebrated this July 26th, correct?
It was a big weekend. I know this airs a little bit after that, but it was a big weekend. We were actually, I was doing announcing for a friend of mine at a ballpark, because that was just happen to fall on the 26th. But that's the point, right? Is we can stay in the community and celebrate and everything like that, and that's not a bad thing. However, I love working with people that don't just stay in the community, but do mingle in the able-bodied community, are not afraid to get out in the world, even on ADA Day, and live their life. That's the whole point, is the ADA Act is there so we can live our lives, not stay in a certain bubble for the whole time and just celebrate there. No, you got to celebrate with those who are, able-bodied, those who may not understand the bill. The whole point is to keep the education going. And by doing that, you just live life and go out there. That's what the ADA is supposed to do. It's not supposed to empower you to stay in the community. It's supposed to get out of the community and talk to more people. Be out of the shadows, if you will. I feel like a preacher today. Sorry about that. It's just firing me up. You guys are firing me up today.
Loving it. I'm loving it.
Well, and I mentioned why. Because it's not a bad thing. Again, they do these parades down Fifth Avenue and whatnot. And that's cool. But the thing is, it's the same group that does it every year. They're not really expanding.
Where do you see your show when it comes to evolving?
Well, as I said over the last few weeks, my goal is to get this on radio and get the message going. And once it's on a bigger medium like radio, because I've been on Spreaker.com my entire podcasting career, and I love Spreaker. It's been my flagship. It's a home. It's got me syndicated on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. However, it's time to grow. It's time to grow the show beyond just a podcast medium. It's time to get this on radio. So that is really what I'm looking to do next. And I feel like once that happens, the sponsors that I want to bring on to support the work we're doing at One Leg Up with Alex Garrett will then help the disabled community in that way through this medium, One Leg Up.
And also, when it comes to growing, that means more responsibility and you'll need a team. Do you have a team that's helping you out? Who are some of the people that's amazing that are helping you?
I know, I should have shared them out. Well, firstly, I got to thank my mom and my stepdad who have been so supportive in this process. I'm still my one person corporation or whatever you want to say. However, behind the scenes, I got my mom, my stepdad, my fiance Gabby, who's right here listening to all this. And then, my close friends that continue to say, keep going with this, keep growing it. My friend Caleb has a great line, bet on yourself. And that's kind of what I've been doing, trying to individuate from radio world into my own personality, own brand through One Leg Up Alex. That's kind of what it's been about too, is individuating and starting to put a stake in the ground myself. And I want to also say my dad got me into radio. He passed away 2 years ago, but if it wasn't for my dad and his continual having me listen to radio, I don't know if I would have been doing any of this right now. My mom's a journalist, so it all works out.
Now, why is it important to have moral support, to have people that are close to you supporting on your goal, not only on the job that you do, but in general, as human beings? Because you'll find that we live in a time now, everybody is on their own. You know, they're only engaging with other people via devices, social media and all that. Why is important, for example, a person like you, who've been going through a lot on achieving what you have, but why is important to have that support, especially when it comes to family and friends?
All right, well, I'll tell you what sparked all this. Last year, I was hospitalized for a week with devastating, if I may say, gallstones. And it was, there was one, but it felt pretty bad. And it was awful. And it made me think of life as, I don't want to say short, but I could be doing more. And so the time is now, because I'm healthier. I'm motivated to stay healthy and complete the work that I've been setting out to do the last 14 years. But I'll tell you, a hospitalization like I had last year, where I was just couldn't even really move, I was in so much pain, and I never want to experience that pain again. But also, it reminded me, once I got out of that whole situation and whole energy, now it's time to hit the pavement and pound the pavement and hit the hit life running, if you will, or rolling in this case. And that's why now feels so important to me, because it's just a year and a few months after my hospitalization that changed everything, and I want to make it count now and help others have one leg up on life as well.
I've heard very often the phrase, and I don't know if they use this phrase in South Africa. Kusi would have to inform me whether they do or not. Turning pain into purpose. A lot of things in life are easier said than done and look great on T-shirts, but they're not necessarily easy to implement to one's day-to-day. How were you able to do that after being in the hospital and saying, okay, I'm going to do this and not just have be all talk?
Well, for the most part, I've changed my eating habits so I don't have to deal with that kind of pain again. But more so, I have a more mindful thing about my health. Like, I try and just do better for myself. I try and eat better. I try and do what my body wants me to do, not try and push to do, like, eat something that might be adventurous but may not work for my body. That's the example. But how do I do it every day? You just got to keep podcasting every day. I find a story every day to talk about, and I'm realizing nobody's really talking too much or podcasting too much. We're all just going at our own speed. And I used to be concerned about oversharing, but everybody shares a lot of things today. So why not just share stories that matter every day to keep growing the podcast and keep growing the message of, you know, being that hub of connectivity. That's what I really want One on Leg Up Alex to be, a hub of connectivity to bring the disabled community together and brands that serve the disabled community and bring more awareness to everybody, because I feel like there isn't enough still. And we're in 2025, guys.
So another Alex, I want to know, have you been going around the US or maybe in your communities where you would have talks, motivation? You know, sometimes some people, you'll find that they end up, for example, let's say, as you said, with one leg, maybe you start to have one leg because of an incident, and then you're not motivated, you're down. But as soon as somebody hears someone like you, you know, of some of the things that you went through or some of the things you do, they get motivated. Have you ever go around and do those talks?
I'll tell you an interesting story, because I don't really do talks, but in the day-to-day NYC life, I gave someone who was homeless a dollar. And a year later, or maybe a couple of years on the road, he says, you know, your dollar changed my life. And I didn't think about this at the time, but maybe just role-playing around New York is giving people inspiration. I just see myself as living life. I guess others see it more than that. But as far as doing talks and all that, I have a full-time job. And this is another thing that I wanted to say is I'm proud that I won this grant from IdeaSpark because I'm launching a brand while being a full-time employee. And that's what I say. You can launch your own brand, your own messaging while still doing your full-time job. It can happen. It's happened for me. It can happen for you as well. And of course, I'm not just done launching, but for now, it feels like we're getting wheels up off the ground, if you will, with this. So you can launch. But as far as doing talks and all that, I have not invested time in that. Maybe I'll look into it. But I'm more just talking to people on the streets of New York. That is my ballywick, if you will.
And it would be lovely if you come to South Africa, though, and have those talks.
Oh, I would love to go to Cape Town and see how the accessibility is there. Last time we talked with Jamie, there were still some hiccups with accessibility, and Is it improving year by year, the accessibility, Kusi, or?
It's slowly there, but obviously still a huge gap. But when it comes to government support is so much there, but it's just the society when it comes to training, you know, understanding that someone with disability is still a human being just like you. It's just that they can't access certain things and all that. But when it comes to that, slowly, though, the communities around the country are learning that or understanding that, you know, especially for those who are disabled. But when it comes to education, we have a lot of institutions where disabled a school for the disabilities and different disabilities, school for the blind, school for kids. There's a whole lot of variety when it comes to education, but it's only the society that needs more education, which is why we have people like you, man, who are talking as now. That's why people in the continent are listening.
Well, and you know, talk about society, as I said, that conversation with the guy who said, why aren't you on disability? Why do you want to work? I mean, it's infuriating to hear that, because the fact of the matter is society needs to know the disabled community is here to work. And here's an interesting line I've come up with recently is the disabled community, as funny as it may sound, is willing and able. Okay, they are as willing as able as anybody to roll up their sleeves and work. And I think that message has to be continually amplified. And thank you for letting me do that on One World today.
Thank you, Alex. And we have a couple minutes left before we wrap up here. So I was going to inquire, because you're talking about building a brand for yourself, because you said you're up to 49,000 downloads, near 50,000 downloads. What's the process like for people looking to maybe start their own podcast or whatever it might be, start their own flower shop, whatever they want to do? What's it like building that brand, and what was the process like for you? And what advice would you give to people that want to do the same?
For me, it was simply cracking open a mic, and I just started talking and just talking, and here we are 49,000 downloads later. But no, in all seriousness, I think it's just having that entrepreneurial spirit. And I think the other thing, and I've talked with other CEOs who have really had one leg up on life. I mean, look, there are people out there who grow to that CEO role, and I want to know how they do it. That's why I welcome them to the show. But I've learned from so many CEOs, they did have a fear of like, will people support me if I launch this brand? Will people invest in my brand? And then sort of easing that fear and just doing it. And again, not caring who invests or not, just starting it is the biggest thing they can do. But the mindset has to be, hey, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to get support on this or not, but I'm going to go for it. And we need more of that entrepreneurial spirit, more of that let's go get it attitude, because everybody in generations after us are turning to the phones. And I feel like we're becoming a generation, we're becoming a country that doesn't want to roll up its sleeves, just want to scroll on the iPhone. And I believe in those who have entrepreneurial spirit and entrepreneurial aspirations, do it. Launch and start your brand. And if people come along, great. And if not right away, trust the process. But just starting it is the biggest achievement. And then you go from there.
Thank you very much, Alex, and for your time, and also for the inspirational work that you do, and also for your family, man, and friends, that people that are close to you, making sure that they motivate you at all time, which is why you're motivating me as we speak. Lastly, on my side, for someone who's listening, yeah, in South Africa or Africa, and maybe they're going through a lot, you know, as you said, there was a time where somebody said, your $1 changed their lives. So who knows, someone might be changed by just the words that you're going to say now. What would you like to say to that listener who's listening now, who's going through a lot, thinking things are not going their way? What words of motivation can you give?
All right. Well, no matter what someone's going through right now, as you're listening, I always believe in the term always adapting. There's always room to adapt. You can always adapt. And I mean, I kind of make an extreme example of someone, unfortunately, could be having to use a wheelchair for the rest of their life starting now. I mean, it might sound extreme, but that's kind of where I say people have their lives changed, upended, I mean, daily. But life won't end tomorrow. You have time to adapt, and always adapting will move you forward.
Well, that's what it is. Adapt with me. That's your whole brand, Mr. Alex.
Always adapting is one of the catchphrases I use, because I believe that I'm always adapting, and I'm hoping others are encouraged to adapt as well.
And we thank you for sharing that story with us today on the show. Now, Alex, if people after here want to find you, which I'm sure they will, learn all about One Leg Up, what's coming up, where can they find you?
Well, the first investment I made is into my website, onelegupalex.com, onelegupalex.com. It's pretty self-explanatory, and I write there. I do my podcast is housed there as well. So,
and Mr. Cousy, just because we were talking about it in the beginning, when people want, where should people in Cape Town be on August 9th? Where should they all be going?
On the 9th of August at the Artscape, it's Women in Jazz, or Celebrating Women in Jazz, and also a celebration of Bush Radio's podcasting 30 years in the making. They're making sure that they're empowering communities in the Cape Flats, and hoping that you're going to be there and be part of this. And Alex, thank you very much for your inspiration story. Keep up the beautiful work that you're doing, and hoping that we're going to have a chance to have you in South Africa.
Well, and the cool part is, you know, I actually interviewed Bush Radio folks on my podcast when you guys were in town a few months ago. So I'd love to have you on again. Cousy, I'd love to have you and talk about this event. Maybe we can reach people in Cape Town through the One Leg Up Network. Who knows?
Definitely, definitely. Thank you very much, Alex.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Cousy and Alex. You heard it here first on One World. That's all I'm going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the One World Community Radio Show on 88.7 FM, WRHU Radio, Hofstra University, 88.3 WRCT Radio, Carnegie Tech, and 89.5 FM, Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to One World Radio, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you next week as we celebrate the power of radio in our one world. Tot ziens, jylle.
Stay tuned for the One World Community Radio Program on 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, 88.7 FM WRHU, Hempstead Radio, Hofstra University, 88.1 FM WCWP, Brookville, LIU Post, 88.3 FM WRCT, Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 FM WVCR, Loudonville, Siena College, 98.1 and 105.9 FM WKZE Salisbury Red Hook, and around the world at WRHU.org. This is One World Community Radio, coming up next on your favorite community radio station.
Program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Makhwanana, broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts Cody Millar and Andy Gladding. We welcome you to join us for the next hour as we celebrate the power of community radio, music, language, and culture. The world is a big place, but using the power of radio, we're bringing it right to your door. Now, Bush Radio and WRHU welcome you to the one world of community radio.
Went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die.
88.7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York. 89.5 Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio. And 88.3 WRCT Radio Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh. You are listening to the One World Community Radio Show. And today we are joined by Palesa Mosumi from the Art and Jazz Experience. Palesa, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's good to be here.
So this experience, Art and Jazz, is a pretty new thing, I would say. How, describe it for people who don't know much about it, especially those in the Cape Town area.
Wow. So Art and Jazz is a concept that we came up with. And when I mean we, it's really a group effort. We kind of came together as artists, curators, and really thought about the love that we have for jazz music in general, but also the improvisational element to this genre of music, as well as the artistic element that can, you know, take place in different ways. And one of the ways that we thought about jazz was through abstract art, through thinking about jazz as an abstract form. And we thought about it also through the conceptual lens of how many artists have kind of collaborated with jazz musicians in the past in South Africa, and also present day South Africa at the moment. And Art and Jazz burst into the space where we wanted to collaborate with jazz musicians and visual artists. So it is a space that welcomes people that love jazz and art simultaneously at the same time.
Sounds like very interesting stuff. There's a lot to get into there because you combine the visual and that sound of the jazz music. Talk about kind of how the idea for this whole process, this whole project rather, came along.
It came along with a friend of mine who approached me, who's a visual artist, who saw me as a curator to kind of bring a different element and a messaging around the space. And at the moment, we are in a crossroads in terms of whether we want to create Art and Jazz as a bigger, better space for communities in Cape Town, or create an intimate space for select few who would like to interact with jazz musicians. So that's where we are at the moment. Curatorially, we are really thinking through around what is happening in South Africa musically and visually, and that is something that motivates us daily. It's a one take one night type of experience. So people who come to Art and Jazz don't experience the same thing. They will never be able to experience the visual artist in a regular, you know, well, not never, but they will not be able to see the visual art that is presented at Art and Jazz all the time. So it's really selected, intentional, and it's something that is wondrous and brings about a sense of curiosity for those that come to Art and Jazz. So it's always about who's playing on the night. People anticipate coming to this show because it's really an experience. Sonically, it really plays to that sound, that history that we have in South Africa, as well as also the visual element, which is paired with the music.
Describe, because in the United States, there's a big history with jazz music, and it's in the culture. Even on this station, WRHU, there's a show called The Jazz Cafe. So in the jazz is a really big thing in the United States in the culture. Describe for those who might not be aware in the United States listening, and in South Africa and Cape Town listening, the history and prominence of jazz in Cape Town.
It's really important to place jazz within the context of Cape Town because really we have sounds from Guma. We have, you know, legendary sounds from groups that came from Cape Town who merged the sound of jazz with different genres, but also were influenced by artists as well and also other genres of music. So there's a deep history of amalgamating these different sounds to bring a unique perspective and a unique political voice for people that are interested in the history of South Africa. We can remember the kind of ways that which art played a role in mobilizing people to understand what was happening in apartheid and also what was happening now in the world globally. So at the forefront of everything that we do at Art and Jazz is to really bring about the historical narrative as well as also bringing an element of people being aware of the role that an artist plays within society. And we don't do it in a way that is overtly political, but our stance is quite strong in terms of how we want people to understand the genre of jazz. So the musicians that we also collaborate with, because it's a collaborative effort, are those kinds of musicians who understand the history of South Africa, the history of Cape Town, the history of jazz music, and the links that we have with the United States, specifically turning into our recent art and jazz event. We really had a series of prints by an artist called Sam Ntlengetwa, and he's a legendary artist in the South African visual arts. And he has a series of prints that looked at jazz legends like Mahalia Jackson, you know, Ray Charles, Shea Baker. So he painted a picture around the kinds of musicians that come from the US and had also a Miriam Makeba, you know, in there to also bring it back home. So even when Gabi Muduba was performing on stage, there were these artworks that spoke to the history of jazz musicianship and also the legends that came before people like Gabi Muduba and all the other amazing young artists in the jazz music genre.
You were saying about how you have the different paintings throughout the night, the different artwork. How does that kind of go hand in hand with the music that's being played? Are certain songs picked to